Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We all live in the here and now, and for many, living in the here and now is all there is. Some people do not look beyond today and only find their hope and peace in what they have today. For some, the here and now is a great place to be, and for others, the here and now is a horrible place to be. No matter how hard we try to escape the here and now, we find ourselves always living in the here and now. As Christians, we have a hope that transcends the here and now. While we live in the here and now, we do not live for the here and now. Imagine how different it would be for us if the only hope we had was the here and now. How would things be different if we lived our life as if there was no tomorrow, or as if tomorrow didn't matter? Would we remain as people of faith, or would we become a faithless people? Would the hope we have be replaced with a never-ending misery? Today, we're going to take a look at the here and now, who is behind a focus on the here and now, and what our focus needs to be. Paul alluded to living in the here and now in writing his first letter to the Corinthians when he discussed the false concept that there is no resurrection of the dead. All who believe there is no resurrection of the dead can only have hope in the here and now. Paul told the Corinthians that if they believed Jesus wasn't risen, that their faith was useless, and that despite any religious thoughts they had, they lived a life of sin instead of living a life of righteousness. He then added that if in this life we only have hope in Jesus Christ and do not recognize there is a resurrection of the dead, we are the most miserable people on planet Earth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we know that there is a resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a large spiritual family, and that through Jesus Christ, all will be made alive in a predetermined order, even until death itself is destroyed. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Paul then challenged the Corinthians to consider why they do what they do. He reminded them that at the time, being a Christian was a hazard to one's health. He was showing that if we are going to endanger ourselves, there should be some benefit to us for taking that risk, and that everyday risk is taken by being a Christian. He explained that if, as a Christian, he has to fight animals at Ephesus, there is no benefit to him in taking this risk if there is nothing promised beyond the here and now. Verse 29. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The concept of living in the here and now is a deceit foisted upon mankind by Satan. Unlike Jesus, who came to save people and bring abundant life, Satan, as the thief and robber, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The deceit of the here and now is one tool used by Satan to distract people from even thinking about the kingdom of God. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan seeks to have our minds focused on the here and now because it serves as a distraction to our focusing on the kingdom of God. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent had Eve focus on the day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, deceiving her by saying, on that day, their eyes would be opened. Conveniently, Satan never told her that God would one day, through Jesus Christ, offer an opportunity for eternal life, that at that future time, God would give her knowledge of life that would transcend good and evil. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat. The eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The parable of the sower shows that Satan wants to distract people from the Word of God, which tells us of the kingdom of God and our future of eternal life. One way for Satan to distract people from this hope for the future is to be focused on the here and now. Luke 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Satan also uses other people to distract us, especially when somehow other people do wrong by us. We are told to forgive other people, lest Satan use that to gain an advantage over us. When we can't forgive others, that fits nicely with who Satan is, who doesn't forgive others. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan, who doesn't forgive others, is known as the accuser of the brethren. Satan accused Job before God and accuses us before God. Satan accuses us because there is no forgiveness with Satan. Where there is no forgiveness, there is the spirit of evil lurking. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan has blinded as many people as possible to the mercy that comes from God. Because when people feel there is no hope for them with God, it is much easier for Satan to distract them from the hope we have for the kingdom of God and eternal life, and to have them focus on the here and now. Even with this world living blinded by evil and kept from the truth, we are to live so the light that is in us shines brightly. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know we are of God, and for us it is easy to see this world that is deceived by wickedness that looks to the here and now. Through Jesus Christ, we have our hope of eternal life and understand what is true and righteous and what is fake and evil. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Paul told the Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God so that they could stand against the deceits of Satan, reminding them that the battles we fight are not physical, but spiritual. By surrounding ourselves with that which is spiritual and holy, we protect ourselves from that which is evil. And we do that because we have this hope of what is to come. While like all people, we live in the here and now, we do not live for the here and now. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. prior to our calling, like all people who are not called, we were under the influence of Satan, because we did not yet at that time have the hope that we have today. Before our calling, without hope for the kingdom of God and eternal life, we lived for the here and now. Now that we have been called, we no longer live for the here and now. We now live for the kingdom of God and eternal life. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Being focused on the here and now is one reason why so many try to get as much as possible. If the only reason we have is the here and now, then trying to get as much as possible sinks nicely, as does having lots of self-love. Being focused on the here and now takes away the reasons to have any type of moral restraint. And people tend to brag. They use million-dollar words while having $50 in their bank account, and they tend to be dismissive of people who have helped them, because what happened in the past or what will happen in the future is of little value to people who live in the here and now. Paul explained this to Timothy in a second letter, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce fakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Instead of selfishly considering just ourselves, those of us who are called, who have and are led by the Holy Spirit, need to esteem others better than ourselves. That means we don't look down on others, seeing ourselves as spiritually superior. We consider not only what is personally important for us, but for others as well. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Because we are focused on what is to come, the kingdom of God and eternal life, it should not come as a surprise when the world hates us, because this world is focused on the here and now. We are led by the Holy Spirit, and they are under the sway of Satan. With that understanding, we do not see ourselves as spiritually superior, but when we see a person in need, as we are able, we help them. 1 John 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We have to be aware that the world in which we live has people who are contentious, who, like Satan, dispute what is truth, and because they do not accept truth, the kingdom of God and eternal life, they do what Satan would have them do. They live a life of unrighteousness, are resentful, and angry. That is not how we are to be. We are to live a life that does what is good, the type of good that transcends the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and is based on the tree of life. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same things, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Instead of looking to the kingdom of God and eternal life, those who live in the here and now look to their physical possessions. For the rich, sometimes they trust in their riches. We are not to look to our physical possessions or trust in what we physically have. We are to look to the kingdom of God and eternal life, and avoid the deception of the here and now. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. As Christians, we need to avoid that which causes envy and strife, because envy and strife is focused on what can be found in the here and now. Envy and strife is not focused on the kingdom of God and eternal life, and we must be focused on the kingdom of God in eternal life. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Because we live in the here and now, but do not live for the here and now, we can see some pretty scary situations. Unlike those with no hope for the kingdom of God and eternal life, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear evil because we are not focused on the here and now. We are focused on the kingdom of God and eternal life. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can take comfort knowing that God will sustain us. The righteous will never be removed from the presence of God, and God will resolve any burdens we have according to his will for our life. Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. Because we do not live for the here and now, we are not distracted as so many others are by what happens in the here and now. Instead of being distracted by Satan, we trust in God with all of our heart and do not even trust ourselves, knowing that as we yield to God, God will direct what we do. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Because we do not live for the here and now, but do live in the here and now, it is normal for us to see the many problems of society and our own life cascading down around us. We are reminded to not worry about the here and now, but to keep focused on the kingdom of God and eternal life, God's righteousness, and all of our present needs will be provided by God. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Because we are called and are led by the Holy Spirit, we are delivered from the darkness that is Satan. Instead of living for the here and now under the deception of Satan, we live for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom, and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Being focused on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness leads us to do the will of God. Those who do not do the will of God will not be part of the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those who live for the here and now cannot understand what God has waiting for us in the kingdom of God. Even those of us who are called, who are led by the Holy Spirit, who, while we live in the here and now, do not live for the here and now, can see this future kingdom of God as if looking through a smoky, dark window. We can see snippets, outlines, and shapes, but we can't fully understand everything that God has prepared for us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that might come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. From the very beginning, Satan has worked to deceive mankind by having us focus on the here and now. When mankind focuses on the here and now, mankind has a hard time understanding the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Because most people live for the here and now, every form of greed is alive, because for most, now is all there is. We live in contrast to most people. While we do live in the here and now, we do not live for the here and now. We live for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And because of that, most people don't get us. And like Satan hates God and what is righteous, it should come as no surprise when people hate us. When those people hate us, we will still live for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and we will overcome evil with good. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.